Once again, you are welcome to this glorious service of the Lord. We pray that as you have come, you will encounter him in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, we are going straight into our Sunday school. A moment to study about this God who has called us into a relationship. A moment to know him. For God that we serve is not a man. It's our duty to know the God that we serve, knowing fully well that it is not a man. Our experience can make us predict who a man is. Our experience, our intellect, our research can make you say, oh, I know this man. But the God, our Savior, who has given us the privilege to be called into a relationship with him, is not a man. And that is why it is a matter of necessity. We are duty bound to know this God. I thank God for this opportunity that we have to study him so that we can have a better relationship with him. So that our services unto him can be acceptable service. And so that also we can receive the reward for service. So without much ado, we are looking at a very important topic this morning. Very, very important. The year is still very, very new. It is first day. And it is important as we go along this year that we understand the ways of God so that we will not be stumbled by so many things around us. The original church, since he went into marriage to the world, AD 325, the original, the true church, when he was married to the world in AD 325, a whole lot of the wisdom of the world, the system of the world, the belief of the world have been imported into Christianity. So much that we don't really know the true faith anymore. And that is why it is so important that we understand our way so that we will not mistake the worship of idols to the worship of the true God. Every daughter of God, every son of God, your life is a reflection of what you know God to be. The way you dress, the way you relate with your fellow human beings, the way you relate with unbelievers, the way you relate to your brethren, it's a function of your knowledge of who you know God to be. Praise God. I'm trying to lay a background to emphasize the importance of the study of God. So this morning we are looking at the topic titled The Foolishness of God. Praise the Lord. We are looking at the foolishness of God. That might sound very, very sacrilegious. Why? Sure. Is God foolish? But the foolishness of God has to do with the way human wisdom see God's ways. Human being, because we are limited in knowledge of God, we don't know his ways. We think God is a man. And when God begins to act or give instruction to human thinking, to the natural mind, The actions of God look so foolish. And in our own conclusion, sometimes we think God is foolish. Let's look at this slide. Our anchor scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's read it to lay a background. Apostle Paul speaking here. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. What? Please, this is a class. I want it to be very interactive. God wants to teach us something this morning. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. What? Please, let's make it louder. What? Foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is what? It is the power of God. We are still reading. Look at it. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Look at it. It pleased God by the what? By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Are we not privileged? Damn your ears together for the Lord. Through the foolishness of preaching the gospel, God has saved you and I. To them, the preaching of the cross that we preach, to human understanding, it does not make sense. How can you be preaching the cross of Jesus and you'll be saying that is where salvation comes from? That is an anchor. That is our anchor test. Where this topic is brought forth. Why do men feel the actions of God are foolish when they try to put it side by side by their logic, by their own understanding, by their experience? They conclude that sometimes these actions are stupid. Why? Isaiah 58. Because they failed to take cognizance of the fact. Look at it about God. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If human beings can understand the depth of this scripture, when God gives any instruction or says something that is contrary, that is absurd, that you cannot comprehend, human beings are not supposed to argue. Human beings are supposed to act in obedience. Since he has said, your ways, the way you reason, the way you go about your own things, they are different from my ways. Because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. If I ask you to do anything for your own interest, for your own good, it's to just what? Obey without what? Any argument. Because in Numbers 23, he said, God is not a man. Verse 19. That is what? He should lie. He said, God can do all things. But God cannot lie. He said, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. And he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? A man can say something and not bring it to pass. Because as a man is limited, he doesn't have all the power. A man can make a promise and not keep it, but not God. As believers, as Christians, as children of God, for us to walk with God, we must know who God is. That is not what? He's not a man. And his ways are far beyond our ways. His thoughts are higher than our own thought. Human wisdom often values power, status, speed, and logic A man is doing something, he's looking at the logic. Does this make sense? Does this align up? But that is not the God's way. God does not do his own thing by logic. He doesn't do it by logic. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what to do to achieve his own things. But God works through what? Weakness. When men are thinking to achieve this thing, let's look for the strongest man. God is not looking at that strength of a man. He's looking at what? Weakness. When man is looking at somebody that is highly placed, we are looking for somebody to be our president. It must be somebody that is very connected, that must be very powerful, that must be very educated, that has the fame. That is the way of man. But when it comes to God, for God to place somebody that will be his man or woman to lead well, he does not look at somebody who is highly connected, who is highly placed. He looks for who? Humility. The lowly in the heart. When men think about speed, God is looking at somebody who is waiting upon him. Who is waiting upon him? When men, men will say sin is believing. They will tell you that sin is believing. That if they don't see it, then they can't believe it. But in the ways of God, we walk by what? I can't hear you. In the way of God, we walk by faith. In the world, it is by sight. I can't see what you are talking about, therefore I cannot align with it. But when it comes to God, if you are waiting to see it before you act, you will wait in vain. Praise the Lord. What looks to men, what looks foolish to men is often God's highest wisdom. That is what we just read, 1 Corinthians 1:25. The wisdom, because the foolishness of God is what? Is what? While you wait of God that you think this thing is absurd, it's foolish. It contradicts human knowledge, human thinking. That is the display of God's highest wisdom. God is never foolish. Apostle Paul cannot say God is foolish. Neither will I, somewhere here, say God, with what I have known about God, with his display of power, with the way he has fought battles, with even the salvation of man, it will be far, far, far from me to say that God is foolish. What do we mean by the foolishness? Foolishness describes how human beings, you and I sometimes, perceive God's ways. The way we see, the way how we look at the things of God, the instructions of God, the ideas of God, the way we perceive it to our own understanding, to our own intellect, it is absurd. It makes no sense. And we describe it as God's ways are foolish. But God cannot be foolish. It is so important that we know this. We're briefly going to look at God's some. There are too many. There are just too many. If I begin to list many of God's ways that human beings think they are foolish to human thinking, from now to tomorrow, we will not live here. But I have decided to just pick out few of them so that we will be able to know how to work with this God, particularly as this year is still very fresh. The year is loaded. It is a journey we have begun. To know how God works in different aspects of our lives so that when he's talking to us, we'll be able to align with him properly. Biblical actions of God that appear foolish, but when you look at it, it is a display of God's highest wisdom, because what God achieves as a result of that actions or instruction will confirm to you that it is the best wisdom so far. Number one, salvation through the cross. It confuses the world. How can salvation of mankind come through the cross? just war. The whole world today is still confusing them. If Christ must save us, must he pass through the cross for us to be saved? That is why they despise the cross. That is why they cannot accept salvation through cross. But they do not know the way of God. And we, as the bride of God, the bride of Christ, we cannot choose the path of the world that does not take time to study, to know the ways of God. Otherwise, we will not have a fruitful walk with him. Even the rapture that we are expecting, the rapture will strike, and majority will still be going to church and be serving God. Praise the Lord. Salvation can only come through the cross. No other salvation. Salvation cannot be guaranteed outside of the cross. You and I, we are already subtracted. We are already minus from God through the sin of Adam. We are what? Subtracted. We were lost from God through the sin that Adam committed. Romans 5:12 made it clear that through his sin, sin has been imputed to all mankind. But thank God for the cross. Show me the cross. We were minus from God, lost from him. Show me the cross. Show me this cross. We have been what? Subtracted. We are minus. For us to be brought back, there must be a what? There must be a what? Show me the cross. There must be a what? A plus. Salvation must come by the cross. That is why the cross remains the symbol of our faith. When you look at the cross, that is when you know that your freedom was purchased. When you see the cross, you know all that have brought you into slavery to Satan and sin. All that brought you into bondage, the captivity of Satan and demons. When you look at the cross and you dissect what it represents, you know that your freedom was purchased through the cross. It has to be by the cross, because if Jesus Christ died secretly, the demons can still be challenging your salvation. Redemption must be what? Be by a public display. If Jesus Christ just died in a bedroom, salvation will not be guaranteed. If Jesus Christ was just shot, salvation, it is not secured. It has to be by the cross, because the whole world, there must be witnesses. That is why you have to go to the Golgotha. There must be witnesses of redemption. And the whole world saw it. That is why no demon, no principality can challenge the salvation of a true daughter of God. Because the redemption, the price, was totally settled on the cross. Praise the Lord. It was a total package. It confuses the world. The whole world knew that the soul that sinneth shall die. But it confuses them. How can salvation be free? They know the soul that sinneth shall die. And they also know Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 makes it clear. He said, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. They know there must be punishment for sin. So they were expecting the salvation that will come through hard work, through self-righteousness, through payment of price. So when you say salvation is from the cross, I just remind you that it is us at the cross that your freedom was totally purchased. That only what you need to do to be saved is just to believe on what. It is the highest confusion to the world. How can you say they believe that God is a righteous judge? You must pay for your sin. But they did not know that a righteous God, a just God, could also bring a substitute to judge that sin that has separated you from him. To judge that sin that make demons, witches and wizards, Satan, to have authority over you. Colossians 2:14. Colossians chapter 2 verse 14. It has to be by the cross. Any salvation outside of the cross is fake. He said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. What did he do? What did he do? He took it out of the way, nailing it to where? On a gun? To where? When Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, he knows what he's saying because he's the only one that offers his blood on the cross. That is why we preachers, evangelists, you see, if you really want to bring somebody who is an ardent follower of another faith, be it Islam or the Krishna, the rest of them, by shouting, by saying it, will not make sense. Draw them closer. Break it line upon line, scripture upon scripture. Let him know where it must has to be, by the cross. Otherwise, all your effort will not achieve anything. Because to human reasoning, it is absurd that salvation must come through the cross. The cross is the symbol of our faith. It is the place where reconciliation took place. Subtraction became what? Addition. Any other salvation outside of the cross is what? Fake. And it cannot guarantee eternal life. Somebody appreciate the Lord by clapping hands. It looks foolish that a crucified Savior, that the Savior of the world, must be crucified on the cross. It insults human thinking. It does not make sense. A Savior should be a conqueror. It should be somebody that will not even die. How is it possible? But look at God's wisdom. Can you read God's wisdom? Redemption, forgiveness, victory over sin comes through the cross. Without the cross, there is no forgiveness. Because without the remission of sin, there is no forgiveness of sin, and there is no salvation. That is what nullifies every other faith. For you to be saved, your sin must be what? Forgiven. And for your sin to be forgiven, your sin must be remitted. And your sin can only be remitted through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you not privileged that you are following the original faith? Are you not privileged that the faith that you hold on to is the original one that will lead you into eternal life? Give the Lord a clap offering. So, let's look at another action of God that also insults human thinking, human logic, human philosophy, and they perceive God as, in quote, foolish. Choosing weak and ordinary people. It confuses human thinking that God will want to choose people who will lead his people, servants that will serve him, that it is the lowly, it is those that have no on their own abilities, the weak people, people that are not strong. The world believes that to get the best leader, you must be very, very eloquent. You must be an orator so that you'll be able to advise, confuse, direct, and lead properly. That is the wisdom of the world. That is the thinking of the world. And that is what is happening even in politics. But it is so unfortunate that the way of the world is now being imported into the church. But as the bride of Christ, we will reject the way of the world and hold on to the way of our Lord. Praise God. Example, Okay, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not the people that have degrees, not the people that are famous or connected, that God called. But who? Not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised, as God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Who we think that of all the people, the Israelite, it is a stammerer. See eloquent people. See people that when they speak, the audience will tremble. Look at Aaron. Look at Joshua. Look at the people that have all it takes to live. Out of all of them, it is somebody of slow tongue. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Let's read that scripture. And Moses said unto the Lord, Oh my God, I am not eloquent, neither yet tofor, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. This is Moses here. He knew, humanly speaking, he was not qualified. He was what? Not qualified to lead these people. But how could God choose somebody whom he has even disqualified himself? It is that one. Are we learning something? That when it comes to God, your academic qualification is what? Irrelevant. It's what? Irrelevant. Look at Brother Jude that assaulted us on Friday night here. Most of the nuggets that he was giving out. Somebody called me last night from Germany and was telling me how he was blessed by that exhortation. I said, brother, even myself listening to him, I was so blessed. He was saying that, he said, I caught that one. He said, don't mistake what you are going through to where God is taking you to. What a nugget. You know, he will always tell you, say, I don't have a degree. But what? I have a what? A decree. And in this kingdom, it is not degree that matters. What matters? He coming from, he said what he was going through. He said the exhortation by Brother Jude brought comfort. And that is what God is looking for. It is not your philosophy. It is not your power theory. The degree that you have in any institution of the world that brings results. It is whom God has chosen. And he does not choose by your academic qualification. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's look at David. How can God choose a shepherd? Somebody who has no military background, who has no even physical strength to be a leader of a nation that was faced with threats. Even when the prophet of God came to anoint, he even forgot about him. Why must he be the one that has been rejected? And see what he said. He said, You look at what? The appearance. But God looks at what? When it comes to God choosing his people, he does not look at your physical strength. He does not look at your academic qualification. He does not even look at your strategies. Strategic planning to go for battle, when it comes to God, is immaterial. He knows how he can achieve his things. So, if you look at human wisdom, David is far from being chosen to be a leader of God's people. What has a shepherd boy got to do with fighting battles? Fighting battles, leading people to war. But that is to confirm to us that the ways of God are what? Far, 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 far different from the ways of man. What about the apostles? A group of people that will lead a spiritual movement, a fresh revelation coming in of people from the school of Gamaliel, like Apostle Paul. People that were already connected when it comes to education or affluence. They were in the ground, on ground, as at the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he not go and choose them? That the people he called are who? Fishermen, tax collector, the best people, people that when they are speaking, they will not even want to listen to. Why? It is to tell you that God's ways are different from our ways. God chooses the weak. As the main reason why he chooses the weak, rejected, the best things of this world is so that no flesh will glory. If Moses had been a very eloquent orator, he would have attributed the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt as his what? As his ability. He will attribute it to his own wisdom. But God wants to take glory in their deliverance. He wants to take glory upon their lives. That was why he chose Moses. That was why he chose David. Even when Christ came, he wanted a people that will always know they are irrelevant, they are rejected, that will always depend on him and him alone. So that he will what? He will take glory. Praise the Lord. Another biblical action of God that looks so foolish to man, but it is the highest form of display of God's wisdom. Victory through strange methods. I want somebody to echo that. That God gets his victory in a battle through methods that are against human knowledge, that contradicts human thinking. Does it make sense to you that a city that has been locked up, no entering, no coming out, human thinking believes to bring down that city, it must have to be by force? That will make sense. Let us carry atomic bomb, bulldozer, and pull it down. How could God, in his wisdom, tell them to bring down these walls? You don't need to fight any battle. Just march around the city once daily for how many days? 6 days. And on the seventh day, march around it several times, and the wall. If I happen to be the leader, I will at that time, I will say, Lord, are you the one talking? This is absurd. This is against logic. How can marching around a city bring it down? It insults human wisdom. It insults human logic. It is absolutely ridiculous to man understanding. But at the end of the day, did the wall come down? Did the wall come down? That is the display of the wisdom of God. Look at the Midianites. Gideon wanted to lead them. How many men in the soldier? 32,000. Were men of experience in war front. But God knew if he should get victory through these men, what would they do? They would think it is by their strength. God wanted to take the glory. How can 300 men go against a nation that they can't even number them. They were too many. How many nations compassed together? But did the victory come out of those 300 men? Did it come out? The ways of God, totally different from our ways. Victory comes by obedience, not any strategy, not by any technology. The victory of God, if you want it, is by your obedience. It's by what? Obedience to his instruction. Naaman almost missed it. Naaman almost what? Missed it. The instruction given to him for his deliverance was too absurd. Look at the way he was challenging the instruction. Are there no better rivers in Jordan? How can you tell me to go and dip myself into that river, Abna? Common, dirty water for me to be cleansed of my leprosy. How? I thought he was going to give me maybe 7 days dry fasting. I thought he was going to give me to go and sow maybe millions of seed. Things that I will feel that, oh, I have done something. So that at the end of the day, after my deliverance, my healing, I can attribute it to. If not for that girl, why don't you just listen? Was that instruction not absurd to his thinking? But at the end of the day, did he give him the deliverance he was looking for? Did he give him the deliverance he was looking for? So, child of God, what is key in following this God in this kingdom? It's what? I told you, it's so important. We were in a kingdom before. Kingdom of Satan. That is where we were. The way we were doing things in that kingdom. If you truly and you are sure that you have been translated into this new kingdom, headed by the Lord Jesus Christ, for your own good, for your own profit, put your own wisdom aside. Align with God's wisdom. Align with what? God's wisdom. God, I think our daddy in the law has given that testimony here before. That a sister who has been believing God for a marriage for years, God told him, he revealed her husband to her. By the time he met him, guess what? The brother was HIV positive. In the wisdom of the world, HIV positive to a sister that has been praying to God for a marriage partner. Will you not think this God is so wicked? But the sister, being very revelated, you don't know what she said? He said, if God has said, this brother is my husband, it means everything that will make that marriage to work, God will make a provision. If God has spoken, it must surely come to pass. Instead of despising the brother, do you know, according to the testimony, do you know they are married? Before the marriage, the brother became HIV positive. Today, they're happily married with children. Somebody did not hear that. They are happily married. Assuming the sister was not revelated, did not know the ways of God, that if God has spoken, then God that knows the end from the beginning will make everything come to pass peacefully. Instead of despair, how can I marry HIV positive? With all this, my waiting upon the law, with all my sacrifice, my duty in his house, my evangelism, my tithe and offering, how of all the five fine brothers in the church, it is HIV positive brother he will give to me as husband? He will have missed an ordained husband. I will have married a serpent seed. May you not miss the way of God in the name of Jesus Christ. always know it's a kingdom that is different from the kingdom of this world. And how we behave, how we relate is totally different from the kingdom we are coming from. And it is in your own profit, your own good, your own interest to align yourself with the wisdom of God. Because the popular church of the world now, ever since that marriage has taken place, they have learned the ways of the world. And that is what they use to do their things. It is from the part of the ways of the world. Their churches, before they get their ministers, they make it as a precondition, a prerequisite, that you must go and get a degree. Most of these churches that have the biggest followership, some now, I don't want to mention him, to be a minister there, you must have at least MSc, master degree, you must be a master degree holder before you can function. Where did they learn it from? It is the wisdom of the world that for you to be an effective leader, that for you to be a good minister, you must obtain a degree. That you must have education of this world to a certain level. But is it so? Where did God prepare Moses? Where did God prepare Moses? The backside. Where did God prepare David? In the field. Taking care of sheep. Did he not lead well? Did Moses not lead well? Today, they are still going to Harvard, Oxford, to study about Peter. Ordinary fisherman. Ordinary what? Fisherman. When you meet with Christ and he transforms you, all your background, your achievements, whether in finance or education, it is zero. It does not matter. Apostle Paul makes it clear. He makes it clear. Everything he learned from the school of Gamaliel, he said he what? Became a dunk unto him for him to be able to follow Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's look at another way of God. This one is the one. In fact, it's one of the reasons why Christianity has remained what it is today. It is so absurd. Conquering through suffering and death. We say Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. We say, we proclaim it, and it is the truth. And to human thinking, can God die? Can God die? So how do you want to add it up that the Savior of the world will die? In human logic, Savior is a conqueror. Savior is a winner. If Jesus say we say he's the Savior of the world, then he must go to battle, conquer the battle, and be alive physically. That he should remain and never dies. If that is the way, then I'm telling you, the whole world will believe our faith. That Jesus Christ, we say, is the king. Then he will lead battles to deliver the Jews. That is why majority of the Jews did not accept the faith. They expect a king. They expected a king that will actually fight for them and remain a king that never dies. But is that the way of God? In the way, the kingdom of God, God works by principles. God does his things by what? His principle. Look at the principle that if men have sat down to think, it's actually the principle that can only guarantee the salvation of the world. In God's kingdom, John chapter 12, verse 24, is the principle that God ignited to save you and I. John chapter 12. Look at this principle. He said, look at it. This is the principle God made use of to save you and I. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and what? Die. It abideth alone. But if it dies, what happened? Jesus Christ is the only one that had eternal life. If Jesus Christ did not die, he would have remained only eternal Son of God forever. The world, lacking the understanding of God, if they have known this principle, they wouldn't have crucified. If Satan himself has known this principle, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus Christ will be walking. Till today, he will still be walking all alone. But how will God bring you and I back into relationship? Except the corn of wheat dies. He remains what? He abides alone. Satan thought he has finished Jesus. He thought he was laughing when he was crucifying him. Little did he know that he was only killing one Jesus. That thousands of souls by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ will today come become Jesus's. If you are a Jesus sitting there, say thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. I am another Jesus because the Spirit of the Father dwells in me. If devil has known that killing him will not make me come back to relationship, he wouldn't have killed him. But the whole world did not know that it's a principle that God ignited. If he didn't die, you and I, we are doomed forever. And that is why they still cannot understand. The Jews cannot understand. The people of the world cannot understand. A king is God. God does not die. It is impossible for a God to die. How can you say your God will die to save you? It is ridiculous. It is absurd. It does not add up. They expected him when he was hung on the cross. They expected him. They were even mocking him. They expected you are a king, you are a savior. Come down and deliver yourself now. But he did not know that as he was on that cross, he was fulfilling the purpose for which he came. Somebody appreciate the Lord by clapping your hands. Conquering through suffering and death. If you got Isaiah 53, it's a popular scripture. How Jesus Christ came and suffered. And he suffered. And it is through that suffering, that humility. If you read Philippians, study it. Except he passed through that means, he cannot become a savior. And what is the lesson there? Power, human wisdom, power comes through force. They expected him to fight battles and conquer. Then if he say he's a king, they will accept him. But in the wisdom of God, power comes through what? Humility, sacrifice, and even death. Jesus won. Did he not win? How did he win? By dying. Even we ourselves, if we must get to that, must win. This old nature must what? Die. For you to win, you must die. The old nature must die. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why? What are we learning? We are learning how God does his things, that it is beyond human cooperation. That for you to follow God effectively and enjoy your walk with him, don't argue his ways. Don't reason his way. Don't reason it. If you try to reason it, you will miss it. You will what? You will miss it. You will miss it. All that is required is what? Obedience. All that is required is obedience. That is why it is so important that as a child of God, Apostle Peter says, make what? Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Ensure that you are his son. Ensure that you are his daughter. You know why? Once that thing is ensured, I'm telling you, when he gives you instruction and you align with it, everything we do what? We walk. We walk for good according to his purpose. You are going through afflictions. You are going through trouble. Have you ever seen a true father a true father, a caring father, that will ignore the crying of his son? He can only do that to a bastard. He doesn't care. But once you have confirmed, probably you are having any sickness, you are going through challenges, maybe in your marriage or your business. Once you confirm that his son, what God will do, he will just come and look at. When you are crying, you are praying, he will only come and see. He allows it. Oh, if this suffering does not come now, that position, that height, that breakthrough I have ordained for him, he will never be able to materialize. God will just fold his hands and be what? God will just fold his hands and allow you to be going through it. Is it that he doesn't care? Is it that he doesn't care? No. If it does not happen, the height, he knows your end from beginning. You cannot get there. You cannot get there. That is why. His purpose. And as you align with God's ways, every expectation, particularly for this year, our year of multiplication, you will see coming to pass. Bow down your heads and begin to talk to the Lord. That the Lord should reveal his ways so that you will not consider the ways of God foolish, like Nama almost miss it. Almost miss it.
Silently now, I wait for thee.
In Jesus' name we've prayed. If you are blessed by that beautiful study, interesting study, can you put your hands together for the Lord? Very enriching, very enlightening. Can we quickly see Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9? Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Because what Brother Sam is emphasizing has been the problem of man. Yes, this is thus says the Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Are we seeing it? Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that's the message. What you should pick the most from this message is that God has called us to submit to his word, not to reason his word. We are called to obedience, not to reasoning God's command. This has been the problem of man from the Garden of Eden. He gave a command. What means the Satan used to push man away? He brought a new gospel and he caused man to reason what God has said. His ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. I mean, to us, how can you be saying salvation? You must baptize. You know, you should enter water and come out. I thought Jesus died and took my sins away. You see, his ways are not our ways. The God that formulated salvation and said, be baptized in the name of Jesus, he knows the effect of water baptism. But the preachers we have today, they'll be telling you, no, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. Please don't fall victim to such. Don't be a Christian that is trying to use human reasoning to follow God. We are called to submit. We are called to obey. That is why we are called sheep. It is goats that say, but. It's goats that bring in human reasoning, but. I don't understand. Why can you say a woman should not be a pastor? I mean, she can talk now, but. A sheep does not need any explanation. The God says so. The Bible said so, I believe. Because why? God's ways are not our ways. Can we put our hands together for the Lord Jesus? Let's be on our feet.